You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Jazzed in Blue. Profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. Today, Jazzed in Blue profiles Rochambeau and their self-titled debut CD. Stick around for more. Jazzed in Blue is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for the band Rochambeau and their self-titled debut CD. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Oliver Watkinson, Luke Marantz, Zach Shaman, and Jacob Cole of Rochambeau regarding the new release, and you'll hear all that in just a few minutes. From their self-titled debut CD, here is Rochambeau with Bear Blade. From their self-titled debut CD, that was Rochambeau with Bear Blade. Visit the band at their official website, www.rsbmusic.net. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Oliver Watkinson, Luke Marantz, Zach Shaman, and Jacob Cole of Rochambeau regarding the new release, and here's how the interview went.
Well, it's a great CD that you guys have here, and now that it's out there for people to get a listen to, or about to anyway, how do you feel about the finished work?
Well, for me, for me, like every day that passes, I like it a lot more, and that's kind of hypocritical because it has less and less to do with what we're doing right now, because we've been evolving so much, playing together so much. I'm really stoked to have people hear what we were doing, like working on for 2 years, put a lot of time and energy and blood and sweat into, and now we're trying to do more and bigger things. So it's really, it's cool to see where we've come from, and it's even more fun to see where we're going.
Yeah, I think the record, this is Luke, but I think the record is really a great snapshot of sort of our first 2 years together as a band, just trying to figure things out. I mean, we really learned a lot about what we were trying to do while we were in the studio. Sort of have access to a lot of equipment that we don't normally have access to. We did a ton of post-production work, and a lot of the stuff that Zach does now, I mean, even with his pedals, and that was just kind of a huge part of our band. We kind of figured out a lot of that stuff in the studio. So, I don't know, I think it's a really good picture of, you know, what we were doing back then, and sort of, I think in particular a song like Bear Blade, really the first track, is kind of a picture more of like where we're trying to go. I'm extremely proud of it.
And it helps to have, this is Jacob, it helps to have a really great and creative engineer working with us. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big part of why it was such a success.
Who was the engineer?
His name is Joe Tooley. He worked at Q Division Records and Q Division Studios, because he worked at Q Division Records. And just does freelance stuff. He's out of Somerville. But he's a really talented guy.
Now, when you say it took to, you know, 2 years, I mean, does that include the time that this project got off the ground, or does it, or is that just, you know, being in the studio? I mean, talk about that a little bit.
The studio thing was 2 days. I mean, the mixing part took a little bit longer than that, but the studio thing was 2 full 12-hour days. And, 2 years is from, you know, the band's inception up to that point.
Well, talk about the inception of the band. How did it all start? You know, what got you guys all on the same page to want to do it?
Well, as a saxophone player, a few years ago when I was still in school, it was nice to get together with some people I could play music with and have jam sessions. And I called DC guys, and, you know, started playing some standards, some usual jazz language kind of stuff, but I could hear a lot of potential for so much more than that. And so we kept on getting together for, you know, every week we'd start bringing in some of our own songs, which would be nice. And it'd be really nice because I got to try out some of the things that I've been sort of dreaming about doing for like a year or so on my own. And I guess they sort of dug it, and then we started playing more and more and more. And one thing led to another, I guess we were a band before we even knew it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, our first gig, we didn't even have a name for it yet. So we were kind of just like, we didn't know exactly what it was we were doing, but, you know, we were playing original music and experimenting with stuff and overall just having fun.
Yeah, I mean, right from the beginning, I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was just that it was so incredibly easy to play with all of these guys. And whether we were playing standards, or at that time I was writing a lot of really like complicated rhythmic and harmonic music, and these guys like right away would take the charts, and we could just kind of like bring them to new places. And that's really an exciting part about playing live shows with this band, is that we've kind of gotten more and more away from actual solos, but the improvisation is still just as much a part of the music as it always has been. Now it's more sort of with, you know, we improvise with the forms, and, you know, just like there's so much group interplay that's going on all the time. And I think that was sort of a really apparent thing musically with all these guys right from the beginning. I think also we all like all had in common that, I mean, we all sort of have been listening to jazz and love jazz, and we're in jazz school, but we loved lot of the same kind of music that, you know, wasn't jazz. Like, we all love rock music and pop rock and indie rock and a lot of the same bands. And so, I don't know, we just had a lot of time right from the beginning.
And talk about how you settled on a name, on the name for this band.
We had, this is Oliver, between us we had, you know, 20 or 30, just a whole bunch of names that we were looking at and considering. And our first show we did at school, in one of the performance rooms down there. But we sort of left it up to the audience. We had a toss-up between Rochambeau and then another named Conor Dolomite, which, you know, none of us, I mean, we liked sort of, but we sort of left it up to the audience to decide which one they liked more.
Show of hands and round of applause.
Yeah. So in Applause-O-Meter, we decided who, which name would stick. So I think it was, you know, it was just through that. And then we decided, you know, Rochambeau would work. It started out more as a joke name to it. And then, you know, sort of just became our sound.
When anybody asked me how we came up with the name, I just tell them that we're a big fan of American history because General Rochambeau was a French general who helped the Americans win the Revolutionary War way back when.
And also huge fans of conflict resolution through children's films. That's Rock Paper Scissors. A lot of creative disputes get solved in Rochambeau.
And talk about how music began for each of you.
Let's go around, I guess.
Well, for me, Luke, we all are all students here at NEC. My parents actually met here at NEC almost 4 years ago now. And so I kind of grew up with music in the house. My parents are both music educators. My brother's a saxophonist. And so I started taking lessons with my mom when I was, I guess, about 4 or 5 years old. And played a bunch of different instruments. And then I went to an arts high school and ended up here.
All right.
I started out when I was young. My sister plays a lot of classical violin, so she got me into music and violin, you know, especially. So I started out doing violin lessons and then switched to, you know, piano and did the whole classical thing for a while. But I was also really into, you know, like in middle school, I was really into like Led Zeppelin and the Beatles. I sort of, you know, worked its way into my playing a lot on piano especially. And then, you know, high school started and my friends needed a bassist for their Nirvana cover band, so I figured I would start playing electric bass. And yeah, after a while from that, you know, I got more interested in, you know, Jaco and like Jaco Pastorius and like a lot of, you know, electric jazz bassists, and then just it took off from there, kept snowballing until I started playing upright and then met these guys, and it was really the first situation where I could really incorporate, you know, sort of a lot of the rock bands that I listen to into sort of the jazz learning that I've been doing for a while.
Nobody in my family, nobody in the Shaman family played music, and so it was kind of, my parents sort of made me choose an instrument, and I'd gone through a few. I'd started on piano and I hated it. And I played a little bit of guitar on my own, but I still hated that. And then we started renting saxophones, and I found a teacher that actually cared enough for me to learn how to put notes together on a saxophone, and then I guess it sort of stuck. I started cutting high school classes just to get home and practice, and that's when I knew. I was like, I might as well just go to music school. You know, my transcripts were all like, needs improvement. All my math classes were like, can't put two and two together. Put them to music school. And so I had always sort of envisioned more for myself than just trying to play jazz standards and stuff, so I was really stoked to find these guys and sort of push the limits about what you consider of the jazz idiom. And that's how I got, that's how I became who I am today.
Well, I started, I was like 10 years old, started playing drums, and didn't, for the first 3 or 4 years, didn't really have any interest in jazz. I mean, when you're a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, and you start playing drums, like, you don't want to say spang, spang, a lang right away. You want to, like, bash. And so I did that for a while. Started, you know, playing rock and punk bands, just, you know, whatever, so how playing in rock bands. But I got into jazz, you know, like 13, 14, I guess, when I got to high school, and knew that that was like something I could also do, you know, for longer. And I left high school early and went to Puerto Rico and studied at the conservatory down there and learned a lot of Latin rhythms because that was another interest for me, percussion and Afro-Caribbean music. And from there I went to NEC. That was the only place that I really had any interest in going. If not, I probably would have stayed down there. But luckily, you know, by, I guess, divine grace, we found these guys. And just been having fun playing music since then.
Visit the band at their official website, www.rsbmusic.net. From their self-titled debut CD, here is Rochambeau once again with Tejas Drive. You're listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwired.com is pleased to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Donna Destry, and her forthcoming CD, Element of Fire. With producer Stephen Jones of Etranger Musique at her side, Donna embraces a haunting electronic sound marked by exotic melodies and Donna's own ethereal voice on songs such as In Dreams, Some of Your Time, and Fire. Element of Fire by Donna Destry, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit Donna at Facebook.com. Take a break from the asinine chick flick starring Jennifer What's-Her-Name from Friends and treat yourself to a different kind of movie-going experience. The Guild Cinema is Albuquerque's only venue for eclectic cinema 7 days a week. From uncompromising documentaries to daring foreign films to kitschy cult favorites, the Guild Cinema provides something different, something better. The Guild Cinema. Located at 3405 Central Avenue Northeast. For news on upcoming screenings, check out guildcinema.com. Save your neck, save your data, and most importantly, save your money. Computer viruses are a fact of life, but Dr. Dan's makes viruses history with a $35 virus removal. Most computers are repaired in 24 hours, so you can get on with your business and get on with your life. Dr. Dan's Computers, located at 4405 Cutler Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-881-8851 or visit us at drdanscomputers.com. Are you a music maker eager to take the stress and the cost out of recording? Then make a little noise at Elephonic Recording, the sound choice for the independent musician. Record in a relaxed environment and take advantage of 32-channel recording, a staff of session musicians and engineers who know what the heck they're doing. Elephonic Recording, a sound choice. Located at 5620 Venice Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-797-1333 or visit us at elephonicrecording.com. You're listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Rochambeau and their self-titled debut CD. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Oliver Watkinson, Luke Marantz, Zach Shaman, and Jacob Cole of Rochambeau regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
Explain, if it can be explained, the creative process that takes place amongst you guys. How to, you know, to talk about how you go from, you know, hearing a sound in your head to something, to turning and turning it into something that someone's going to hear over the speakers.
I mean, we still start with written music most of the time. We're starting to do that less and less, so I guess, you know, there's less and less on the page. But we, you know, somebody will bring in a chart, we all read music.
To a varying degree.
Yeah. And,
Jacob's still a drummer. Don't make that mistake.
All right. You want to talk? Okay. And we just, you know, it's, a lot of times it's, the final product is pretty similar to what's on the page, and a lot of times it's something completely different. But we don't play, you know, we don't use music live. We like to interact with, I mean, use sheet music live too. We, you know, like to interact with each other and with the audience.
think, yeah,
the creative process.
Yeah, yeah, how we go from songs in our heads to songs on the stage. I sort of piece things together. I'm cursed with these stupid little vignettes of ideas that go through my head all day, and sometimes I write them down, and sometimes I lose them forever. But most of the time when I get them written down, I'll bring them in, and I'll try and put on paper what I mean, and sometimes I'll use words. I mean, sometimes the notes on the page isn't enough. I'll have to say to Jacob, you know, just do whatever you want, because I know that's what you want to do anyway. And sometimes I'll say to Luke, more distortion. And then sometimes I'll just say to Oliver, don't play. So for a while, we sort of figure out how to piece together a song. We do it really more like songs, complete songs in general. And that only happens when I bring a song, when we all bring songs in. They start as tunes, like stuff that we repeat, and then they end up as songs, something that doesn't necessarily go from point A to point B back to point A. Like, it'll go from point A to point B to point C. And I don't know how helpful that is, but that's sort of how I envision it.
And with that...
go ahead, Ryan. Well, I guess, I think one thing that makes it really nice for me in this band is that I tend to write out everything. Like, I feel like the charts that I used to bring into this band were a lot more, you know, like all the voicings are written out and everything was really complicated. And these days, I feel like I barely have to say anything to these guys, because I write, most of the music I write now is for, you know, particular people, and I kind of hear these guys before I, you know, actually put the music down on paper. So for the most part, I feel like we don't really even have to say a whole lot to each other in rehearsals. I see this band as a collective anyway, so when Zach brings in a song, I don't feel weird about, you know, telling him, like, a specific idea that I have about his song. You know, I feel like I kind of know how each of these guys play and how each of these guys write, and what works and doesn't work. So, I don't know, I feel like in rehearsals and even at shows or whatever we're doing, it's kind of, I don't know, it's all sort of a collective process in the moment, you know.
And with that being said, what songs off of the what songs off of the CD resonate for each of you the most, and why?
Cool. For me, I like Jacob's song "Emulator" because it was a great combination of an idea that he had that he brought in before. But when we got into the studio, we really got to... That was the one song that we didn't have a roadmap for. We spent a year and a half writing all these songs and stuff and getting all these songs really well rehearsed. And then Jacob wanted his one song, and we didn't... We played it maybe twice. Maybe once, maybe twice before we even went into the studio. And that was a little bit scary and a lot fun because we got to mess around with toy pianos and glockenspiels. We got to sort of really cut loose and not worry about, you know, money and time and music. We just got to have fun, which is really what I think this band is all about. Just have fun.
Yeah, I think one song for me that really sticks out, I guess maybe because it defied my expectations, or surpassed, I guess maybe it was surpassed my expectations, was the last song, Anthem, which was something that Luke wrote. And it was really simple, just like this melody, and we're, you know, we're all being really loose with the time. I mean, the time is there, but nobody's really stating it in a super overt way. And I think that song worked out really nicely, just like for something for us to stretch out on, and I don't know, just a different sort of thing that we could improvise more on and build. Both the form that we go, because there wasn't really a form to begin with other than the melody.
I really like Slave to the Cube, I think is my favorite one. Mostly just for the energy that's on that song. This is Oliver, by the way. But mostly for the energy of the song. Just because, I mean, it's fast-paced and it's fun to listen to. I just feel like every time I like, play the CD or listen to it on iTunes, I just always go back to that song. So...
What would each of you like a person to come away with after they've heard this album?
I want people to listen. I want people to be affected by it in some way. I mean, I think it's what everybody wants. If it's, you know, if people are at our shows for, you know, whether it's to have some really, you know, deep spiritual connection with it, or, you know, making that the foot, you know, give the groove of it, or, you know, if they're intrigued by the, you know, little complexities of it, or virtuosity, or whatever, or if it's just a soundtrack for them to get drunk. Like, I want people to listen, I want them to be there, and I want them to think something about it, you know, and just listen to us and what we're trying to say.
I think I want people just to want more after hearing it. I want them to want to check out, you know, other stuff that we've done, or videos of us on YouTube, or, you know, our Bandcamp, or, you know, our website, if it ever starts working. But I just want people to want to check out more things than just that album, instead of leaving it there and, you know, moving on.
I want people to have extreme reactions. I want them to hate it or love it, and I'm not really content with anything in between, personally. And I know that's selfish, but... It's super selfish. Saying it out loud makes me realize how selfish it is. But I just want people to actually care about something in the world. Strongly enough so that they can say, I really hate this, or I really like this. That's really all I want.
I'm kind of with Jacob. I mean, one of the things that I really like the most about this band is that I do feel like this song has something for everyone, and especially, you know, where we're coming from out of music school. I feel like, you know, there's... Like, for people here who obviously have been studying music all their lives, I think there's something for them. We've also played, you know, house shows in front of people who, you know, have nothing to do with music school, who most of us don't even know. And they've been really into it because it's rocking and grooving. You know, I think I want people to be affected, but I think I also feel like, I don't know, maybe it's from being in music school so long, but I feel like people oftentimes just take music and art so seriously, and I think it's time that there's a jazz group, or maybe not necessarily a jazz group, but a group with a saxophone that's made up of former jazz musicians, that allows people to have fun and, you know, not have to, like, you know, sit there quietly through a whole concert, but actually be able to get up and dance around and scream and shout and do whatever the heck they want.
Visit the band at their official website, www.rsbmusic.net. From their self-titled debut CD, here is Rochambeau once more with Dream You Later. That's going to do it for this edition of Jazzed in Blue. A special thanks goes out to Rochambeau for their time and their music, and to Anne Braithwaite and John Mushin of Braithwaite and Katz Communications. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Jazzed in Blue is powered by Rockwired Media, LLC. A limited liability company and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.